Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. 888-623-3646 is the number. That's 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. A lot of issues to get into. Shea Butter, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander, him or Jaylen Brown is an MVP right now. I mean, it's a nip and tuck race as far as I'm concerned. It's something special. The San Antonio Spurs look like they're ready to win a championship this year, not anywhere down the line. This year, we'll talk about that. NFL free agency. Who's the winner on day one of NFL free agency? Some would say the Las Vegas Raiders. I'll explain that as the show goes forward, while other people are looking at the Baltimore Ravens squad, the Dallas Cowboys, and others. There's a lot to get into as it pertains to that, and we will not hesitate to do it right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. But the first order of business for me on a more serious matter, I'm not joking about it. It's that Magic City event in the ATL. You know, the Atlanta Hawks was planning a week from yesterday, March 16th, to have a promotional event at a Hawks game against the Magic, and it was going to be a night dedicated to Magic City, the famed strip club in the ATL, and that has been canceled. The NBA has stepped in, attaching a level of seriousness that it deserved and required to this equation, and Commissioner Adam Silver issued this statement, was it yesterday or earlier this morning? He said, when we became aware of the Atlanta Hawks scheduled promotion, we reached out to the Hawks leadership to better understand their plans and rationale. While we appreciate the team's perspective and their desire to move forward, we've heard significant concerns from a broad array of league stakeholders, including fans, partners, and employees. I believe canceling this promotion is the right decision for the broader NBA community, end quote. This was a statement from Atlanta Hawks ownership in the aftermath of Adam Silver's statement. The Atlanta Hawks said, quote, while we are very disappointed in the NBA's decision to cancel our Magic City Night promotion, we fully respect its decision. As a franchise, we remain committed to celebrating the best of Atlanta with authenticity in ways that continue to unite and bring us all together. End quote. Needless to say, there's been a brouhaha going on. People going off about it. People who were in support of the event saying, what about the NBA being hypocritical here? You know, the relationship with sports gaming and gambling. What about that? Is that good? Is that good for the culture of the NBA, et cetera, et cetera? While others have stood firm alongside the National Basketball Association and saying it was the right decision to make. It was the only decision that could be made. Luke Kornet, if I remember correctly, he spoke out against it initially, and his former teammate with the Boston Celtics, because he's now with the Golden State, he's now with San Antonio Spurs. Al Horford is now with the Golden State Warriors. He basically gave a thumbs up to Luke Kornet's position and said, way to go, way to go, way to go, because Luke Kornet really sparked this level of resistance, at least in the eyes of many who were just monitoring this whole situation with Magic City Strip Club and the Atlanta Hawks and all of this other stuff, because Luke Kornet obviously was unapologetic, very forceful, but very respectful in basically pointing out that this is not something that the NBA needed to associate itself with. Here's my position. Now, I know I was joking around, and I was having a lot of fun with this subject. I talked about being appalled and upset and disgusted because I wasn't going to be there that night, you know, and I was just having fun with it and the whole bit. Wasn't a crime. But attaching a little bit more seriousness to the equation, particularly in the aftermath of Luke Kornet's statement, I think it's important to point out that I didn't have a problem with his statement, and I agree with the NBA's decision. Let's understand something here, and it could be a call to action from the standpoint of let me know what you think. You think the NBA made the right decision? Let me know. Right here at 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. Do you agree with the NBA's decision? Or do you oppose it? I will tell you, I agree with their decision. I agree with their decision because I'm about business. I'm a capitalist and I'm proud of it. And I ain't apologizing for it to a damn soul. Now, I remember reading some notes a little over a week ago or so where we were talking about Magic City and talking about Magic City and talking about the ATL and black culture and stuff like that. People might be put off by it, but somebody brought this to my attention. This wasn't me, this was them. And they said, that's how we want to define black culture in Atlanta now, by associating black culture with a strip club. Now that sounds a bit dismissive. When we look at the NBA economy, the NBA generated $12.5 billion in revenue. Okay? We've got other places that generate, Hollywood, for example, about $8.5 billion in revenue. Do y'all know that the strip club industry generated over $7 billion in revenue last year? $7 billion. $7 billion. So it's a moneymaker. But the legitimate question is, when you talk about culture, is that what you want associated with you in a way that it's defining black culture, particularly in Atlanta? When you think about Atlanta, you think about the ATL, you think about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. You think about former mayor and civil rights activist Andrew Young. You think about a plethora of individuals associated with black history uplifting the community. And some would say, are you sure that you want a strip club to be defined as black culture, when there's been plenty of whites, Hispanics, and everybody else that have frequented Magic City? I thought that was a legitimate question. And I think that when you hear the commissioner via a statement talk about fans, talk about employees, talk about business partners, I think that last part is incredibly important. Because you see, sports gaming and the Supreme Court's ruling in 2018 allowing the states to ingratiate itself with sports gaming and gambling, that changed the landscape. Because before then, NFL wasn't interested in it, Major League Baseball wasn't interested in it, NBA wasn't interested in being associated with it. We had Governor Christie, former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, come on this show to talk about how he pushed, you know, for sports gaming and sports gambling to be legalized in the state of New Jersey, and how the league should embrace it, and how former Commissioner David Stern of the NBA, along with Commissioner Roger Goodell of the NFL and others, said there was no way in hell that was going to ever happen. And they were strong resistors to what he was proposing. And he told them it was inevitable. Eventually it was going to happen. Get on the bus now. And they were reluctant to do so. And sure enough, by 2018, it did become legalized. And now we're talking about states generating billions of dollars in revenue each and every single year because of sports gambling and sports gaming. So even though we might look at it and we might say, excuse me, this isn't good for kids, this isn't good for adults, because there's gambling addicts everywhere. You know, think about the hostility aimed at the professional athletes and professional sports teams and stuff like that. And even on a collegiate level, because of sports gaming and how it's ingratiated itself into the fabric of America and American sports. And it's added additional pressure to the athletes, the coaches, and the organizations moving forward, doing their job every single day. That is that good? They've asked that question. My point is, it all came about because of the Supreme Court. And once the Supreme Court gave the okay and the floodgates opened that showed an exponential monetary benefit to the vast majority of folks involved, it was predictable that sports gaming and sports gambling would become what it is. One could easily argue that doesn't say the same thing when it comes to strip clubs, although it's frequented across the world. No matter where you go, what city, what state, what nation, there's a strip club. The flip side to it is that having a marketing and a promotional event around it is entirely different than sports gaming ingratiating itself into the world of sports, gambling and gaming, ingratiating yourself into the world of sports. It's two different things. Spurs center Luke Kornet wrote last week, before all of this went down, "I would like to respectfully ask that the Atlanta Hawks cancel this promotional night with Magic City. The NBA should desire to protect and esteem women, many of whom work diligently every day to make this the best basketball league in the world. We should promote an atmosphere that is protective and respectful of the daughters, wives, sisters, mothers, and partners that we know and love. Allowing this night to go forward without protest would reflect poorly on us as an NBA community, specifically in being complicit in the potential objectification and mistreatment of women in our society. Regardless of how a woman finds her way into the adult entertainment industry, many in this space experience abuse, harassment, and violence to which they should never be subjected." In this day and age, in this culture, as our levels of sensitivity have heightened, and our willingness and fervor to protect women has heightened as well, it makes sense. Because if we're being honest about it, when you talk about strip clubs, it is gender specific. There's male strippers and all that stuff, but that ain't what we talk about here. Talk about the females. With gaming and gambling, you ain't talking about any gender. Just talking about people. In other words, you can't really compare the two, no matter how hard people would try. So at the end of the day, you got to look at the NBA's decision. You got to respect it. They're looking out for the collective whole of the league. And that is what it comes down to. The collective well-being of the league as a whole. No way around it. You still go to strip club. You can still have a good time. You can still do all of those things. But it there being a promotional event for the strip club around a game? Who says the Magic, the Orlando Magic wanted to be associated with that? They're the visiting team in town that night. Who's to say they didn't call and raise holy hell about it? And by the way, according to my sources within the NBA league office, the league had no knowledge of any of this until it was public. They did not know that the Atlanta Hawks had planned this. They did not know that the Atlanta Hawks were doing this. They did not know any of this until it was announced. Otherwise, they would have put the kibosh on it immediately. This is according to my sources that I spoke to this morning. They'd have never let it get this far. So there you have it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. I'll get to Steve Kerr in a minute, wanting to shorten games, the league season, rather, from 82 games to about 72 games. I'm not having it. I'm not interested. I don't even want to hear it. Now, if you had said that before you signed an 11-year, $77 billion deal, maybe I'd listen. If the cats weren't getting 5 and 6 months off a year, maybe I'd listen. But to get your money and then talk about shortening the season and minimizing the amount of games people had to play, nah, I ain't trying to hear that. Ain't trying to hear that. But I'll elaborate more on that later. Shea Butter, as in Shea Gilgeous Alexander, 126th consecutive game of scoring 20 points or more, tying the great Wilt Chamberlain for the all-time record. Hit a step-back three with 2.6 seconds left last night in regulation to upend the Denver Nuggets, a team they've beaten all three times they faced this year. So we got that going on too. But the interesting part about Shea Gilgeous Alexander right now is that while clearly the best player in the game, he's phenomenal. MVP, Finals MVP, NBA champion, and ain't drop off one bit while he's still that dude and he's obviously spectacular, who's your MVP right now? Is it him or Jaylen Brown? Because I got news for you. It's a toss-up right now, but I'm not trying to give it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the year that I've seen Jaylen Brown have. Jaylen Brown has been spectacular. And on top of it all, he was thrusted into the leadership position because Jason Tatum tore his Achilles. Al Horford is gone. Drew Holiday is gone. Kristaps Porzingis is gone. All right? And still, Jaylen Brown had them at 41 and 21 before Jason Tatum returned to the lineup. Averaging 28, 29 a game. He's been sensational. I think that with Jaylen Brown, although it won't be decided with both teams having about 17 to 18 games left in the regular season, although I don't think it'll be decided, I think it's going to go a long way towards a decision being made based on Jaylen Brown's performance over these next two games. He is on the road this week against San Antonio and then on the road again against Oklahoma City. So you're going up against Wembanyama and Castle and Vassell and De'Aaron Fox and the crew in San Antonio. And then thereafter, you're going up against the reigning defending NBA champion, Oklahoma City Thunder, led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the reigning league MVP. If Jaylen Brown performs lights out in those two games, we can't tell him nothing. Can't tell him nothing. But if he doesn't, it's a different animal. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was out. He was injured. And now he's been back for the last six games. Oklahoma City 6-0. His backcourt mate, who dropped the 40-piece in the final, Jalen Williams, he's been out. Not only that, you look at it from that standpoint, and then you're saying to yourself, what is OKC with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? What are they without him? Like, damn near minus 17 with them, without him, and a plus 25 with him. The man's spectacular. He's scoring more points. He's shooting better from the field. He's shooting better from three-point range than Jaylen Brown. Totally true. But coming into this season, with or without Jaylen Williams, we know that Oklahoma City got some horses. They got some athletes. They got depth. They're championship tested, etc. We didn't know much about the Boston Celtics without Jason Tatum. We saw what they could be with Jaylen Brown without Jason Tatum. And now here we are. So I'm just saying to you, as I look at this right now, can't throw it aside, can't do anything. I'm not giving it to anybody, but I'm telling you right now, it's a race between those two. Nikola Jokic is never far behind because he's great. And without him, I don't know what Denver would be. But right now, it's about Jaylen Brown for the Boston Celtics, and it's about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Oklahoma City. Which way are you going? That's the question. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's the number to call. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got some else to get into, some NFL stuff as well. We can't ignore that. And why is that the case? Why is it that we can't ignore that? Because we've seen some moves. Malik Willis with the Miami Dolphins, which I think was a big-time pickup on their part. Kyler Murray scheduled to possibly go to Minnesota once he's declared as a free agent, once the Arizona Cardinals let him go tomorrow after 4 p.m. That's going to be interesting to see. The Las Vegas Raiders piling up. Got to give credit where credit is due. Can't ignore what I'm seeing from them. I really, really can't. Very, very impressive. What did they do? Got Senator Tyler Linderbaum from the Baltimore Ravens. Gave him 3 years, $27 million. Got Quay Walker, linebacker. Nakobe Dean from the Eagles, linebacker. Jalen Naylor, wide receiver. Cornerback Eric Stokes, defensive end Malcolm Kuntz. Cornerback Teron Johnson. And they still got their first overall pick. They got the 14th pick in 2026 draft. They got the 36th pick in this upcoming draft and the 67th pick as well. Damn. I'm looking at the Raiders right now. They might have won the day. My man Dan Orlovsky might not have been lying. 888 Mad Dog 6 is 888-623-3646. Here's Dan Orlovsky on ESPN's Get Up this morning talking about how the Raiders may have stolen the day. Listen up.
It's the best day the Raiders could have had for their potential young quarterback. I think the number one thing you can do for a young quarterback to help him, give him a defense. Make him feel that he doesn't have to score 30 points a game and a touchdown every pass play. The addition to those defensive picks, big deal. And then the second thing is you can keep him clean. And Linderbaum's going to be a big part of that. Linderbaum's very good in the run game, in their zone run game. Clint Kubiak getting out on the edges and being athletic. He's also really strong in protection. Also, remember, Ashton Jeanty. Ashton Jeanty's their first-round pick last year. He had 112 runs that were up the middle of their offensive line. 50% of those were hit at or behind the line of scrimmage. So if they can just get Jeanty to run the football a little bit better, that's also going to be something super impactful for Mendoza.
There you have it. Dan Orlovsky talking about the Raiders. Did the Raiders win today? Or is there somebody else we need to be watching for as NFL free agency continues? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Your calls are more in a minute right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.